it, but I'm going to make it understood. One day in the Bible, Jesus was passing through a city. And you know where he went? He went into somebody's house. Now that was very unusual. I mean, if Jesus would come through this city and he would stop at somebody's house, well, we would probably make a shrine out of that house. We'd probably make a holy place out of it. He came through this town, and in this town lived Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus. He had been one of his first followers, and he decided that he was going to believe on him and trusted him. And Jesus loved Lazarus because Lazarus just accepted everything he said. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now I'm going to cut that off so y'all don't go sleep on me. I see that heat starting to put some of these folks sleep. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he came this one day through town and he said to Lazarus, I want to go to your house. I want to go by and visit your house and stay with you for a little while. So he came into the house where Martha and Mary was. Well, Martha and Mary had heard Lazarus talk about this Jesus all the time. Huh? And when Jesus came into the house and sat down, Mary sat right down in front of him on the floor. And Martha jumped up and started straightening up the house. Run out into the kitchen and started making something to eat. And she just got busy doing a lot of things. But Mary just sat right in front of Jesus and didn't make no move. She just sat there and said, talk to me, Jesus. Lazarus has been telling me about all the fine things you've been doing. Tell me about them, Lord. Tell me about it. Tell me who you are and what you do. And tell me, Lord, so I can believe more than I believe now. And that just pleased the Lord. Oh, he just sat there and began to unfold the unsearchable riches of Christ to her. He began to tell her the secrets of life and death and the past and the present and the future and how he held the whole world in his hand. While he was sitting there talking to Mary, one moment in come Martha, just as excited as could be. She said, Lord, will you please talk to my sister? Said, here I am trying to get this house cleaned up and trying to get you a nice one. Said, let me tell you something, Martha. Said, you're troubled about a lot of things. Everything seems to upset you. He's about to tell you the truth. Mary's really chosen the good things. When I come into somebody's house, that ain't no time to keep cooking. When God sends a man like me to Quincy, that ain't no time to go shopping. Stop everything you're doing and say, go hear what this guy's got to say. Oh, maybe you don't need it now. Maybe what I have to preach you don't need right now, but down the line, that day when Jesus was in Mary and Martha's house that day, they didn't need nothing. Everything was fine. Lazarus was well. Mary was doing fine. There was plenty of food in the house. Everything was fine. But you see, Jesus knew what was coming right down the line. He knew in just a few days what was going to go wrong. And you see, my friends, tonight, whether you like it or not, Jesus knows what's going to face you tomorrow. I'm thinking about one morning sitting around our breakfast table. Just sitting around the table just a few weeks ago. And Sister Williams sitting there very strange. And finally she said, Brother Starr, I just got to talk to you. I said, well, talk on, Sister Williams. She said, God gave me a vision. Well, you know, when somebody starts telling you that God gave a vision, you start squirming a little bit. You're not sure whether it's right or whether it's wrong, or whether the person's ate too much or whether they had a dream or something, you know. So I said, well, go ahead. Tell me what it is. She said, well, I saw you with a mangled hand. So I saw your hand all mangled. And he said, I saw you half black and half white. And I just sat there, kept on eating my food. And I said, yeah, well, what's that supposed to mean? I didn't know what it meant, brother. And she said, well, I don't know what the hand really means. I just know that God showed me your hand was mangled and that he was going to restore it again. And that hand would pick up money. That you're going to get a financial blessing. And money's going to come into your hand. And right at that time, boy, we were really pressed, brother. And she says, as far as the black and white, you being half black and half white, she said, the Lord told me that he's pleased with the way you are taking the race problem in this country and dealing with it. He said, he's pleased with that. And he wanted me to tell you that he's glad that you are showing that there isn't no difference between black and white. Well, I just praised the Lord and went on my way and didn't see nothing about it. And just a few days later, I blew the finger off my hand, and there I had the mangled hand. Come on, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was just thinking about this today, how I told you when we came here, we just had a few dollars in our pocket. Here we are getting ready to go to Haiti, and we promised the people in Haiti we would bring them $1,000 to help buy food over there. Somebody said, why would you want to take that to Haiti? Because y'all got more than you need, whether you like it or not. Amen. Hallelujah. The people in Haiti don't have near what you have, and we're going over there to be missionaries, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability. Well, this evening I called home to my office, and my brother who takes care of our books and takes care of our office, I said, Billy, I said I got to have that money for Haiti. How about it? I said, we were broke. We didn't have it. He said, well, Brother Starr, I went to the post office today. He said, and I got the money out, and I took it to the bank. He said, and I found out that we have about $59 more than you need to go to Haiti. He said, and I've already wired you the money. It's in the Quincy Bank. You can go pick it up anytime you're ready. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're on our way to Haiti. Just like God told us to do, we're on our way to do it. Come on. Oh, now you somebody said, why would God bless you with $1,000? Well, I wonder if he were to give you $1,000, would you go to Haiti with it, or would you go to Sizzler Roebuck with it? Come on now. Huh? You see the difference? You see the difference? If you had $1,000, I got $1,000 sitting right up in that bank. Sitting right there right now. All I got to do is walk in tomorrow and get it. Huh? I probably won't touch it tomorrow. I probably won't even pick it up probably till early Monday morning. Come on, folks. But you see, I wonder if you had $1,000 there, if you would be planning to go to Haiti with it. Come on, I wonder, would you be planning to go to Monkey Wars with it? Or come on, people. You see, people wonder why God don't give them something. Hey, what could I do with Christmas money, Christmas time? Lord have mercy. What I could do with $1,000, I could buy me a few new suits and a few new pair of shoes. Amen. You see, God knows who to trust. Brother, we'll go hungry before we touch that money. That money's going to Haiti. Ain't no question about it. We done made it very clear that we would have to, if we have to borrow the money, we were going to take that money over there. And you see, some of you people, you haven't made no commitment like that to God. I watched last night when I was talking about $12. Some of you about fell through the seat. Just $12. Come on, just $12 offering. And some of you thought, boy, where in heaven's name am I going to get $12? Huh? But you'll spend more than that most likely for Christmas and for food and for clothing, and probably got more clothes in the closet than you'll need now. Somebody say amen. Sure you will. It's the truth and you know it. Hallelujah. So Jesus said to Mary and Martha, Martha has chosen the good thing. See, God knows the future. He knows what you're going to do. Somebody says, why don't God give me a lot of money? Why, he tried you last week. He gave you $10 last week, or $20 last week, or $100 last month. What did you do with it? He tried you. Sure he did. He allowed you to get that piece of money. What did you do with it? Did you take God's money out first, and then a little extra on top of it to make sure that you kept in God's good will? Come on, did you do that, or did you go spend yours first, and then when you got all done, you went to the church and said, well, I would like to give something, but this is all I got. Well, that's the same way the Lord treats you then. When you need something, God says, I would like to give you something, but since I checked your bank account up here, this is all you got.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Given it shall be given unto you. So there's, you see, God knows the future. He knows what you're going to do. And as he sat there in Mary and Martha's house, he knew that down the line, just a few days hence, they were going to be confronted with one of the most trying times of their life. Mary, sitting there listening to Jesus, was getting the words that was going to take care of her. Oh, how many people around the world face death? How many people have gone through the valley of the shadow of death? But only the Christian, my friend, who really faces death can really quote that 23rd Psalm and get some meaning out of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now let's see if we can picture what happened here. A few days pass, and Jesus leaves the city. He's on out of the city, and one day Lazarus comes in off of his job, and he's sick. Martha quickly with her scuffling around the house grabs him and takes him upstairs and puts him in the bed and goes down and starts making him some warm soup, and she starts putting a cold towel on his head, and she says, my Lord, Mary, what's wrong with Lazarus? It don't look too good. And Mary just goes in and sits down by the bed and holds his hand and begins to pray. And I can hear old Martha say, come on, Mary, help me take care of your brother. But Mary just sits there waiting.
If God don't do it, it ain't going to be done. Your soup ain't going to heal them. Your cold towel ain't going to heal them. Amen. Your nursing ain't going to heal them. God got to do it. Jesus the healer. He got to do it. And about that time, I could hear old Martha say, yeah, you're always talking about your friend Jesus. Well, I wonder where he is now. We need him now, and he ain't nowhere around. Mary looks up and says, but Martha, look. Let's just pray. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening now. Don't get upset. He knows. Yes, he knows, then why ain't he here? And so Martha gets all excited. She says, I'm going to prove to you he don't care. And she writes a little note on a piece of paper, and she hands it to a runner. And she says, I want you to run on down here and keep running until you find out where Jesus is, and you hand him this note. And the runner takes off, and he runs, and he goes about 3 or 4 days, and he finds Jesus about 4 days away preaching in a little city. And he comes flying through the crowd, and he runs up to Jesus right in the midst of one of his services, and he says, excuse me, sir. And Jesus turns around and says, yes, what can I do for you? He says, I'm from Mary and Martha. Oh, yeah, well, what about it? Well, they wanted me to hand you this note. Lovis is sick. Huh? Just like Jesus loved Lazarus more than he loved anybody else. But you see, he don't love one person more than anybody else. Amen. Come on. You can't expect God to do something for one that he won't do for another. He loves everyone equal. And so since God does love in that capacity, he can only respond to faith. He cannot respond because he loves. I don't know if you understand that. Because God loves the sinner man out there too. But he can't keep on blessing that sinner man in the way he wants to be blessed, because he'll just keep right on taking God's grace for granted. Come on, folks. God blesses people who have faith and will activate their faith. So Jesus turns around and says to the runner, thank you for the message. Excuse me, sir. Yes, sir. What is it you want? Well, I'm supposed to bring a message back from you. Are you coming, or what should I tell Mary? What should I tell Martha? Don't tell him anything. Just go on your way. Do you know Martha? Yeah, I know Martha. She ain't going to like this. Yeah, I know. But you just go back and tell him you gave me the note. I got the message. Lord, man, you tell that to Martha, she's going to blow her stack. She ain't going to settle for this. Martha, boy, she's trouble about every little thing. Well, Jesus said, you just go back and tell her you done your part, and I got the message, and tell her everything's all right. All right, sir. See you later. Bless you. And away he goes. Huh? He goes running back to Martha, and by this time Lazarus dies. Now the whole house is in an uproar. Huh? Martha's running around now, getting ready for the visitors that are going to come in. They're going to have the wake, getting the funeral procession all straightened out and getting everything in order, because Martha ain't going to do nothing second best now. She's going to do it the best she knows how. When she gets done putting Lazarus in the grave, it's going to be a good, clean, prosperous funeral. Now Mary, she's still sitting by the bed. She quite don't understand what's going on, but she's still sitting there. And about that time, in comes the runner. Oh, Mary, Martha. Hush, man, what you hollering about? Well, I just come back from seeing Jesus. Yeah, what did he say? Well, he said he got the message. You see that, Mary? You see that? I told you. I told you that's the way he is. See that? We sent for him, and he don't even come. He don't even know Lazarus is dead, and he don't even care. Now, Martha, don't talk like that. He understands. Yeah, well, then how comes he ain't here? At least he could be here to help comfort us. Well, he knows what he's doing. He got everything under control. Yeah, you always talk about that. Just shut up. I don't hear no more about him. And she goes on her way, getting herself all set up for the funeral. Now we go back to Jesus. He turns around and he says to his apostles, he said, let's go on over and see Lazarus, because he's asleep. And they said, well, Lord, if Lazarus is asleep, maybe we better just not disturb him. If he's been as sick as they say he is, maybe we just ought to let him sleep. Jesus said, boy, you fellas are something. I've been with you all these years, and you still don't understand my language. He said, in your language, he's dead. In my language, he's asleep. He said, now come on with me, we're going to go wake him up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Them disciples looked at him and said, what's he talking about? I don't understand that kind of language. And Jesus said, just come on. And back he goes. Huh? Now by this time, Martha has had the funeral. I mean, she called in the best funeral embalmer, and they had Lazarus washed down and his body anointed with the finest ointments, and he was wrapped up in the finest cloth. And when he was laid out there, them folk walked by and said, Martha, you sure did a good job, honey. He looks so natural. Looks just like him. Huh? And then she went out and she bought the finest sepulcher that money could buy. And when they put Lazarus in there, he was looking good and smelling nice. And they rolled that stone up in front, and Martha was feeling good. At least Lazarus had a decent burial. And all the while, somebody was saying, Martha, where's Mary? Oh, she's still sitting back in that house waiting on her so-called friend, Jesus. You see what kind of friend he is. He didn't show up when Lazarus was sick. And we done gone through this burial. And he didn't show up to help us go through this burial. And here we are, waiting on this so-called Jesus. And he just let us go through this all by ourselves. Just like he don't even care. But to tell you the truth, I'm glad he didn't come now. At least we got it done. Showed him we can get along without him. Somebody said, Martha didn't act like that. Martha was troubled by many things. Come on. Now the people leave the city. The family goes back home, and Martha's back in the house straightening up, feeling pretty good. At least she had a nice funeral and everybody was taken care of, and she's respected now. But Mary's still sitting, saying, I wonder what happened to Jesus. Mary! What you want, Martha? Get on out here and help me clean this house. Not right now. I'm going to pray a while. You still hold on to that junk. Don't you know that Jesus ain't going to show up? Just forget about him. No, I can't do that. I know him better than that. I know he may not come when you want him, but he always comes on time. Hallelujah. Praise God. He may not be there when you think he ought to be there, but he'll be there when he knows he needs to be there. Somebody say amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Lift up your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Now, 3 or 4 days goes by. Everything's getting back to normal. Mary's back in the house waiting on the Lord. Martha's back in the house doing the washing and the ironing. And she's out there. I can just see her just ironing away and just feeling content. At least things are back to normal now, and everything was fine. And somebody comes running down the street hollering, Martha! 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 You ain't never going to believe what I got to tell you! And old Martha raised up, what you want, lady? What you got to tell me? Said, guess who's coming to town? Well, who could it be? Everybody's already been here and done gone. Their funeral's all over, and ain't nobody that I could think about that was supposed to be here that wasn't here. That's what you think, Martha. There's somebody coming that should have been here and wasn't here. Yeah. Well, who in the world could that be? Yeah. Come on, woman, tell me, who is that? Who is it? Well, I'm going to tell you, Martha, it's your friend Jesus. He ain't no friend of mine. You mean to tell me he has a nerve to come to town now? I sent for him when Lazarus was sick, and he paid me no mind. I sent word to him that Lazarus had died, and he paid me no mind. Now Lazarus is sick, dead, buried, and he has a nerve to come now? Said, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Just who does he think he is? And she wraps her little old skirt around her. I could just see her, can't you? Heading down the street as hard as she can go. And she comes running up, and here comes Jesus, just walking right along, just like he got everything under control, huh? And she runs right up to him, and she says, you, where you been? I fed you in my house. I let you sleep in my house. I treated you with royalty. And when I needed you, you didn't even show up. And now you have the nerve to come into town and embarrass me? So I'm going to tell you something, Lord. If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. It's your fault that he's dead. Now you see, one of the main points of this sermon is very simple. If you would read the story, it's in chapter 11 of St. John. Both Mary and Martha came to Jesus, and both of them said the exact same thing. They said, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. Yet when Martha said it, she got rebuked. When Mary said it, she got results. You know, every time I say that, and don't tell me you heard that before. I don't. If you did, somebody else must have heard me preach it. Have you ever heard that before, brother? Like that? Huh? Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever? Huh? They both said exactly the same thing. Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. Yet when Martha said it to Jesus, she got rebuked. When Mary said it, she got results. Oh, a lot of us know how to pray the prayer, don't we? We know how to say the words, don't we? But when some of us pray, we don't get no answer. Others get rebuked when we pray, and others when we pray get the answer. Come on, folks. And we've got to find out what is the difference. The difference, you see, my brothers and sisters, took place way back when Jesus first came to Mary and Martha's house. The difference is where you stand with God in the knowledge of God, and where you stand with God in the circumstances that He brings around you. Look at this. Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. I believe she used that tone of voice. I believe she used that kind of expression. Jesus looked at her and said, Mother, Martha, Martha, you're the same old girl. You still acting like you know it all. You still act like you got everything under control, huh? He said, well, I want to tell you something, Martha. He said, your brother is going to live again. Oh, I know, she said. I know. You ain't telling me nothing. I know he's going to live again after last day. He said, you see, Martha, that's the thing you missed when I was in your house. You were so busy cooking and so busy cleaning the house that you missed when I said that I am the resurrection and the life. You looking for a last day? Well, that's me. You looking for a tomorrow? That's me. You looking for abundance of life? That's me. He said, I'm telling you, Martha, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Come on. And though he be dead, if he believes me, shall live again. Martha stood there looking at him. She didn't understand a word he was saying. He said, do you believe that, Martha? You believe that? She said, I'll tell you what. You got me, man. You're talking in a language I don't understand. She said, but I'll tell you this much. I do believe you're the Christ. And she turned around and walked away. Got rebuked. Got corrected. Got rebuked. Oh, let me tell you something. Some of y'all making the same mistake tonight that Mary and Martha made. I'm preaching a real good sermon. Because I ain't hollering. Because I ain't jumping. Because I ain't doing the hucklebuck. Because I don't have a guitar strumming behind me. Because I don't have drums playing. Y'all don't want to. You can't get exudes off it. Come on, huh? Come on. Because I ain't doing all that. Come on, huh? If I was doing all that and doing all that and had some drums, everybody getting all excited. But you're sitting right here and I'm preaching you a real masterpiece. Yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am, huh? Yeah, I'm giving you a real masterpiece. Something you never heard before. Probably won't ever hear it again from another preacher like this. Come on. And some of you just so occupied. So busy, so you think what I got to tell you isn't important, huh? You see, I'm coming to the best part of the story. Most of us end up getting rebuked when we go to God. What we need to do is to learn how to get results. And you can't afford to miss it. Mary was still sitting back in the house. Martha had got to Jesus, but she got rebuked. Did you hear me? She got rebuked, soundly corrected. She got no results from Christ. Lazarus was still in the grave after she got finished talking to Jesus. Lazarus was still dead after she got finished talking to Jesus. Come on. There had been no change in the circumstances after she had got to Jesus. Come on, folks. There had been no change in the situation after she got to Jesus. But look at the difference now. Sitting back in the house is Mary. Mary, who had sat and listened to him when he talked and listened until he explained that he was the life and the truth and the water. He was the light and the joy and the solution and the answer and the problem solver and the heart regulator. Oh, she understood that he had the whole world in his hand. She knew that it didn't make no difference what the situation or circumstances was. He was God Almighty. Hallelujah. He was a pearl of great price on the rock in the weary land. And so she just sat there. Somebody come walking into the house. Oh, let me see. Martha. I can see her. Martha come running back. Come running back. Boy, oh boy. That fella sure thinks he is something. He comes in here and just thinks he can talk to me like that. I don't know who in the world he thinks he is. What's wrong with you, Martha? Oh, it's that. You know what I'm talking about. You know who's coming to town, Mary? You know who I just saw out there? Who? Who? Who did you see, Martha? You know who? That friend of yours. That friend that you got so much confidence in. That one that you always praying and calling on. Who are you talking about, Martha? Who? Jesus. He's coming right down the road just like nothing happened. He's walking right on down the street here just like everything cool. Lazarus is dead and gone, and he come right on here just like everything's all right. You mean to tell me he's coming? That's right, he's coming. I knew he would. I just knew he would. You knew what? I knew he'd come. What good is it now? Listen, no matter what time he comes, it's all right. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what time, he can make the crooked path straight. He can make the high places low. He can open prisons that are locked. He can put out the fire that's burning. And he can turn down the water that's springing. Somebody say amen. Oh, Mary jumps up and says, he's coming, huh? Yeah, he's just about a block away. Oh, she said, I knew it. She jumps up and she goes running down the street to Jesus. She gets right down where he is and she falls right down on her knees. And she looks up with tears in her eyes. And she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus wept. He stood there saying, oh, what faith. I got through to you. You know what he said there next? He said, where have you laid him? No rebuke. Come on. No correction. No scolding. Where have you laid him? She jumps up. She says, you want to know? Come on, I'll show you. I'll show you. Hallelujah. Come on, I'll show you. And she starts running through the streets. This way, Jesus, this way. Heading out to the cemetery. Huh? Taking her right out to the grave. Somebody goes running back to the house and says, Martha, 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 you know what that sister of yours is doing? What you doing? Why, she's taking Jesus out there to the cemetery. What? Lord, God, he gonna mess up that whole thing. I done put that guy away so he looked good and smelled good. And he, Lord, have my mom Martha. She goes running out there. And about the time she gets out to the cemetery, she sees Mary say, right there he is, Lord. Right in there. Right there he is. Right there, Jesus. Right there. Huh? Jesus says, roll the stone away. And about that time in comes Martha. Huh? What'd you say? What? Did I hear you say something, Jesus? You leave that stone alone, you fellas. I done spent $400 for that stone. That's the best stone in town. Now, what do you think you're going to do? You want to make a disgrace out of me? Jesus said, Martha, you at it again. You always seem to get right in the middle of things and get nothing done. Amen. You always got your big nose out there smelling nothing. Amen. Come on. You always open your mouth and saying nothing. He said, Martha, did I tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Roll that stone away. You leave that stone alone. You leave it alone. Look, Lord, I don't know what you got on your mind, but Lazarus is dead. Do you understand that? Lazarus is dead. Do you understand that? By this time, he stinks. Now, I don't want to know messing around with that. Martha, get out of my way. For God's sake, Martha, let me do what I can do. Get out of my way. Roll that stone away. I can hear Mary say, go ahead, roll it away. Roll it away. Roll it away. Amen. Hallelujah. What about you tonight? He's crying, roll the stone away. Get out of God's way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are we doing? Standing in the way of God? God wants to heal you. And you got the pill bottle sitting right there. Throw the bottle away. Amen. God wants to deliver you. And you got the operation all scheduled. Cancel the appointment. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to make a way for you. But you got a loan waiting down here that's going to put you in debt more than you ever were before. Cancel the loan and let God be God. Praise the Lord. Roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. I can see old Mary over there helping, can't you? I can see little old Mary with Mary, get away from me. You shut up, Martha. I don't listen to you long enough. Come on, help me put this stone. Brother Jackson, help me push a little bit. Come on, push. Push. Hey, Brother Johnson, help me push a little bit. Push. Hallelujah. Push, Sister Chamblin. Come on, roll that stone away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Mother Cook, just push a little bit. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. God. Roll the stone away. Brother, I got news for you. You can't bring Lazarus out of the grave, but you can roll the stone away. You can't put breath back in his lungs, but you can roll the stone away. You can't make him walk again, but you can roll the stone away. You can't make his heart beat one more time, but you can roll the stone away. You can't make him talk again, but you can roll the stone away. Hallelujah! 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 You can't bear your own burden, but you can bring it to Jesus. You can't heal your own body, but you can bring it to Jesus. You can't take care of your own care, but you can cast it on Him. Amen. You can't pick yourself up, but you can reach up to Him. Somebody say amen. Roll the stone away. I can see old Martha say, you done ruined everything. You done ruined everything. I done had him put in that grave night. People were talking about what kind of a funeral was. Lord, you done ruined everything. By this time, he's ignoring her. He hollers, Lazarus! Come forth! A big rumbling in the ground. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've been good to us, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Like lifting one of your hands, singing, thank you, Jesus. Look back over your life and just see what God has done. We all have a lot to be thankful for tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've made a way for us, Lord.
You
provided for us, Lord. We thank you.
Hallelujah,
oh Lord,
amen. Hallelujah, thine is the Lord.
mercy drops round us a falling. But for the showers we plead,
there shall be showers.
In the streets of the building. his tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended. As the king comes through the gate,
all the railroad cars are empty as they rattle down the tracks. In the newsroom, no one watches as machines type pointless facts. All the planes veer off their courses. No one sits at the controls, for the king of all the ages comes to claim eternal souls. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow.
I can hear the church rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpets spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstands all in place. Heaven's choir now assembled. Start to sing Amazing Grace. Oh,
the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see.
Have you shed tears of hope?
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from the well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I live.
Jesus,
The mere mention of his name can calm the storm, heal the broken, raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the light of hope put into the eyes of a hopeless child. I've heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child, delirious from fever. And I've watched that little body grow quiet and the fevered brow cool. I've sat at the bedside of a dying saint, her body racked with pain, who in those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper her sweetest name. Jesus. Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Oh, yet it still stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall raise in one mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, you see, it was not mere chance that caused an angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, his name shall be called Jesus. Jesus.